that. Let's take out the new handout that you should have all gotten on there. You know the color? We usually have this in color. You have to, I got these copied at school. I ran these off, so there's no, this is not colored. But I'll have this one on the site today or tomorrow, and then you can print it out and you'll get your colored version. I like the color version better. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Like this little top thing that says the Bhagavad Gita and chapter. That should be in color, and the verse should be in color, in red. Let's take a look at the verse first that we've just been chanting. Then we'll go up and pick up the introduction to the verse. Is everybody okay with that? Everybody have? Okay. Here's the Sandhi. Veda Avinashinam. Veda Avinashinam. Nityam Yaha Enam Ajam Avyayam. So, Veda Avinashinam. Nityam Yaha Enam Ajam Avyayam. Katam Saha Purushaha Partha Kam Ghatayati Hanti Kam. Go to the top. I'm going to just repeat these Sandhi rules for you, okay? Veda, that's an Avinashinam, A plus A takes the long. R, A plus R, A becomes A. Simple vowel followed by a simple vowel will take the long form. Yaha, Enam. Do you see that? Veda, Avinashinam, Nityam, Yaha, Enam. A followed by any vowel except A goes to drops, Visarga drops. Visarga, A plus Visarga. Followed by any vowel except a, visarga drops. Okay, so yaha enam becomes ya enam. Second line, the ad enam, ajam, avyayam, that's simply a consonant, followed by a vowel will come together, right? Enam, ajam, avyayam. Next line. Saha. Remember I said last week, with the word saha, which means he, and also eshaha, which means this. The visarga drops in all cases except an a, except when it's followed by an a, which is an unusual rule. Okay. So just for saha and eshaha, the visarga always drops unless followed by an a. Okay. So, katam saha Purushaha, a visarga followed by a pa or pa doesn't drop, but the pronunciation changes to if. Whereas if the visarga is followed by a ka, the visarga also stays, but the pronunciation is pronounced kh. Like for instance, if Purushaha Partha is Purushaf Partha. Purushaf Partha. If it was followed by a ka, the visarga also would stay, but the pronunciation would be like if it was purushaha kam, purushak kam, purushak, kind of a purushak, purushak kam, okay? So here, it's purushak parta. Kam ghatiyati, the anuso, the im and makara, letter makara, when you say makara, makara, the letter M, when it's followed by a mute, will change to, well, either it will change to anuswara, or optionally, to the nasal of the class. The pronunciation is also going to be, if it's an anuswara, will be pronounced as the M or the nasal of the class. It just depends. It's optional. So you're going to often, depending upon the type, be seeing the anuswara there if it's being followed by a consonant. The M will take an anuswara. Okay? Gatayati hantikam. That's all. All the sandhi there. Let's translate it so we know what the verse is that we're going to be leading into. Veda means to know. He knows. It's actually an aorist form, but it's translated in the present. Yeah, so don't worry about that. Just know that Veda, because it's often, very frequently used. Yaha Veda. Yaha, he who knows. Yaha Veda. Yaha in the middle. He who Veda knows.
Well, is that the same as Vedas?
Yeah. It comes from the same root, but this is a verbal form, whereas Veda is a nominal form. But it comes from the same root, vid, to know. So, yaha veda, he who knows, avinashinam, indestructible, that which cannot be destroyed, comes from nash, to destroy, indestructible, because the unnegates, right? Vinashinam means to perish. That which cannot be destroyed, avinashinam. Nityam, that which is timeless. Anam, this. The anam is referring to the atma, as you'll see in the bhasha. Just means this. So he who knows this has avinashinam, indestructible, nityam, timeless, free from time, ajam, free from birth, avyayam, free from... avyayam means navyeti, which means it doesn't decline, doesn't... What can I think of the word?
Disintegrate.
Disintegrate, but it's when something goes away from its... Yeah, like, not perish, but it's like modify negatively. Disintegrate's a good word. Vyeti, navyeti means not... It doesn't... It declines. It disintegrates, dissolves. It decay, like it moves away from its natural state. Yeah, like degrading, yeah. Katam, okay, so, he who knows this as avinashinam, nityam, ajam, avyayam, okay, as these things, all of which have been discussed now in the previous verses. We've gone in great detail about these. So this verse is actually pulling everything together that's been given, summarizing everything that's been said. So he who knows this, the one who knows this as avinashinam, nityam, ajam, free from birth, avyayam, imperishable, katam, how saha purushaha, how that person, parta, hey parta, which is a name for, an address for Arjuna, hey parta, kam ghatiyati, kam means whom, it's in the accusative. Ghatiyati is a causal form from hun, to kill. So it means cause to kill, make to kill. So how can that person cause someone to kill? Cause whom to kill? Literally it says, how can that person cause whom to kill? Or huntikam. Or how can that person kill who? Whom can that person, in English we say, whom can that person kill? Whom can that person cause to kill? That makes sense? Let me go through it again. In English we would say, how can that person cause anyone to kill, and whom can that person cause to kill? And how can that person kill, and whom? Whom can that person kill, and how? Or who can that person cause to kill, and how? So we'd have to, in Sanskrit, you can kind of put it all together. In English, it's a little bit awkward. So let's go word by word. Katam means how or in what manner. Saha purushaha, that person that we've been discussing. Saha purushaha, he parta vokara. Kam, whom, ghatiyati, cause to kill, hanti, kill. Remember the This is hunti is actually a second gana root, so it'd be hun plus ti. Ti taha unti, so hun plus ti, hunti. Looks like the unti ending of the plural, but it's not, because hun plus ti, right? So hunti kam. So that purusha kills whom? Whom does the purusha kill? That kam is interrogative, and katam also is interrogative. Katam means how, question. Kam means whom, question. So whom and how can that person whom can that person cause to kill and how? And whom can that person kill and how? How can that person kill whom? In other words, they can't. That's what Chakra says later in the Bhashya. But he's trying to say, if he's making a question, giving you a question to show the impossibility of something which is avikriya, timeless, free from change, it's impossible for the one who knows himself or herself to be that. It's impossible for that person to kill. Because the Atma cannot kill. Or be killed. Or cause to kill. Okay. Everybody with me? Okay. Let's go to the top and see how Shankara introduces this verse. Ya'enam veti. You can repeat. Hantaram ityanena. Mantraena. Hanana kriyayaha.
Hanana kriyayaha.
Karta karma.
Karta karma.
Cha na pavatiti.
Cha na pavatiti.
Pratignaya. Najayate.
Najayate.
Ityane na vikriyatvam.
Ityane na vikriyatvam.
Hetu muktva.
Hetu muktva.
Pratignanartham.
Pratignanartham.
Upasamharati.
Upasamharati.
You know, when I was typing this in, copying it from a text, one of my texts. In the text, they actually break a lot of the sandhi for you so that you don't have these long strings. I'm not doing that. I'm not breaking the sandhi. I'm not making it. And it does make things a lot easier. They'll put in a little punctuation for you and things. The reason I'm not doing that for us is so that we can have practice in the sandhi. Some texts don't. They don't help you at all. And then some texts really do. You know, sometimes they won't even put in the sandhi. They'll just put it with a lot of sections without the sandhi, then they'll put the sandhi in, then they'll break it, then they won't break it, then they'll put commas in, then they won't put commas in. It's just very random. I don't want to do that because I don't want you to think that there's not a sandhi there. You know, so that's why, and it makes it harder, right? It's going to make it harder on us. But in the long run, it's good because it forces the sandhi recognition. So, but I also wanted you to know that sometimes, say if you get to order one of these books, you actually get your own Bhagavad Gita, which is not a bad idea, eventually. It may or may not have all, it'll have some of the sandhi rules, it'll have all of the sandhi rules, it'll be random. It just depends on who's putting the book together. Okay. But I'm trying to put them all, make it so we have to look at all of them. Okay, so now I'm going to break the sandhi here. Yaha enam veti. Yaha enam, right? A plus visarga plus any vowel except a, visarga drops. So yaha enam veti. Hantaram iti anena. Hantaram iti, e plus it followed by a dissimilar vowel goes to ya, right? A simple vowel followed by a dissimilar vowel goes to ya, well, e. The rule is, a simple vowel followed by a dissimilar vowel goes to its semi-vowel equivalent. The semi-vowel equivalent of e is ya. So, hantaram iti anena. Mantraena. Hanana Kriyayaha. This is a compound. There's no endings between the words in a compound. What makes a compound is that the endings drop off and the words just come together. Then when you read the word, you have to put those endings back in. That's what's called a compound. So here the word is hanana. The second word is kriya. And then with the ending, it's kriyayaha. So hanana, kriyayaha. The visarga followed by a ka would be kriyayah karta. So kriyayaha karta. Second word, karma, cha, na, bhavati iti, e plus e. Right? Similar vowel followed by similar vowel takes the long for the simple vowels, not for the diphthongs, but for the simple vowels. So bhavati iti. Bhavati-ti. Pratignaya. Pratignaya. Na jayate. Iti anena. There it is again. E plus a goes to ya. Semi-vowel equivalent of e is ya. What's the semi-vowel equivalent of va, of u? So I gave it away. I'll have to get you later on that. What's the semi-vowel equivalent of r, r, the vowel? R, u, va, I, r, la. So it's obvious in a way, right? You can always tell the semi-vowel equivalent. If you take the vowel like u and put another vowel next to it like ua, 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 it's going to be, if you take E and put another vowel next to it, like ia, ia, ia. So if you have any doubt, just do that. R plus a, ra. Right? That's the semi-vowel equivalent. So here, iti anena avikriyatvam. A plus a. Iti anena avikriyatvam. Hetum uktva. Consonant vowel. Hetum uktva. Pratignata. Pratignata artam. A plus a. Pratignata artam. Upasamharati. Pratignata artam. Upasamharati. Everybody see it? No problems? Here's the introduction. Yaha, he who enam this veti knows. He who knows this. Yaha enam veti. He who knows this. Hantaram, killer. He who knows this. So enam veti, in English you would say, he who knows this, and enam is referring back to the Atma. He who knows this as a killer. Okay. Yaha enam veti hantaram. Now, this ya enam veti hantaram, he's quoting the previous verse, iti. Iti is telling you he's quoting it. Okay? So, yaha enam veti hantaram, literally say, he who knows this is a killer, thus, neither of them know. If you were to continue to read that verse, it would get neither of those two know. So, yaha enam veti hantaram, iti. Anena mantrena, by this mantra, anena, by this, mantrena, by this mantra, mantrena, by the mantra. Anena mantrena, by this mantra. Hanana kriyayaha. Hanana means killing. Kriya means act. The act of killing. I have to put in, this is a compound, so I have to put back in the ending mentally. So, hanana kriya, killing act. The act of killing. So, hanana kriya. Actually, be hananasya kriya. If you know, once you know the endings, you'll put those endings back, okay, mentally. So, hanana kriya yaha. Of the act, the kriya of killing. Hanana kriya yaha. Karta. The karta is the subject, or the doer. When we learn what we call the vibhaktis, so just a little aside here. In Sanskrit, you know, the nouns decline. So you'll have the first case as the subject of the sentence. Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha. Singular, dual, plural. That subject of the sentence is technically called the karta. The subject is the karta, the one who does the action. Karta is nominative singular. It comes from kartra. It means the doer. So the one who does the action is the subject, normally referred to as the karta. The karta, that's good enough for now. The karma, the second case in the declensions of a noun, like would be ramam, ramau, ramaha, raman, for instance. That's called the karma, the object of the action. Karma means the, it's a technical term. Karma really means action. But the karma here is the object of the action. Okay, so the karta is the action. The karma is the object of the action. And the karana, the word karana, is the instrument of the action. So if you use the simple sentence, the boy hits the ball with a bat, right? The boy is the karta. The verb, right, is hits. The ball is the karma, the thing that, the object, the thing that gets hit. The karana, the instrument, is with the bat, the instrument for the action. So now here, if I say, he kills him, he would be the karta, kills would be the verb, him would be the karma, right? And with a gun would be the karana, okay? Everybody see that? So if I use causal, he causes him to kill, okay? He would be the karta, causes to kill would be the causal verb, and the him would be the karma. He causes him to do something. Right, so that's how it works in the Sanskrit. So anyway, so let's go back to that. You'll learn that when we learn the nouns, but I kind of wanted you to understand here the use of karta and karma as technical terms, okay?
Oh, they're used technically here?
Yeah. The karta, the, because you could say the doer, but it means the subject of the act of killing, which means the doer. Karmacha, and the karma of the act of killing. So see, hanana kriyaya, of the act of killing, karta karmacha. Na bhavati. There is no karta and karma for the act of killing. Now, bhavati means is or becomes. In this text, well, it is. Okay, and the iti. Okay. Let me give you a couple more words and then we'll go back and work on it. Pratignya. A pratignya, if I take this as a noun, this is, the pratignya is a verb, okay, pratignya. Pratignya means to make a declaration or a statement. Also, in a logical syllogism, the first statement is the pratignya. Like if I say, there is fire on the hill. That's the pratignya. Nobody sees the fire, right? So, why is there fire on the hill? Because I see smoke. And then there's an invariable relationship between smoke and fire. So the pratignya is the first statement, but then you have to establish the truth of it. So here the pratignya that was made is that the atma neither kills nor, you know, that a person who thinks that the atma is a killer or can be killed, that person doesn't know, right? So this statement has been made, and the statement has to be now established, okay? So, here he says pratignaya, which is an indeclinable past participle. It means having made the pratignya, having declared, iti what? That there is no karta or karma for the act of killing. By the mantra, he who knows this as a killer. I'm going to go from the beginning just. Yaha enam veti hantaram, he who knows this as a killer, iti, anena mantrena, by this mantra, hanana kriyayaha karta karma cha na bhavati iti. There is, by this mantra, there is no karta or karma for the act of killing. Iti thus, having made this declaration. Najayate iti anena. By this, means referring now, by this verse, najayate iti, by this, najayate, it is not born. Najayate is not born. Iti, thus, anena, by this. Avikriyatvam. The state of being free from action. Vikriya means modification. State of being free from modification. Tvam means the state of being. Avikriyatvam. The state of being avikriya, free from modification. Hetum, cause. Uktva, having told. So having told the cause, reading backward, uktva, having told the cause as being to be being free from modification, by this, iti, najayate, it is not born, from the verse. Pratignyatartam, upasamharati. He concludes, upasamharati, he concludes the pratignyatartam, really means the statement, right? The meaning of this statement. But if you just take pratignyatartam as a compound, it just means the statement or the declaration. So upasamharati, he concludes this pratignya, this statement. Having told the meaning as avikriyatvam by the verse najayate iti, he now sums up. The upasamhara is to totally sum up something, right? You present something and then you conclude, you summarize it, you bring the whole thing to a conclusion. The conclusion would be like you go blah 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 blah. Therefore, this is all true now. Because we've established it for you. That's the upasamhara.
What is bhavati again?
Just is. So you would say there is no nabhavati. In Sanskrit, they don't have the word there. You have to supply it. You know, you don't say, there's no way to say there is blah, blah, blah. Like we would say, kind of a meaningless filler. So you just supply that in English. In here, it literally say the karta and the karma are not. Right? You would say there is no karta and karma. How are we doing?
There's a lot of indented itis in the sentence, right? I mean, there's one.
Yes, there are. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There's like three of them. So is, like, in the second iti, does that include the...
Let's see.
The first one applies to the prior verse. It says, you know, it takes a... But then the second one...
Yes, the first iti is included in the sentence of the second iti. The second iti is a whole sentence, which is the whole pratignya. So let's read backwards. Having made the pratignya, thus. Now this, reading backwards, pratignya, having made the pratignya, okay, having declared, thus. What have we declared? We've declared this whole sentence, starting from yet anam. Okay?
So that includes the first iti.
Yeah. Okay. And then the second part is something new. He says, now, by that which begins with najayate, which is that verse that we've just done, which begins with najayate mriyate va, by this verse, najayate mriyate va, having told the cause as avikriyatvam, state of not of non being free from modification, having told that now, then the pratignyanartham upasamharati, he concludes the pratignya, the meaning of this whole pratignya.
So the third iti, which is after najayate, only puts najayate in quotes?
No, well, yeah, it says, remember that najayate iti is the beginning of the previous verse, najayate mriyate va.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, by this, najayate, he's referring to the verse, it is not born. Okay.
Right. So that iti is only putting the najayate in quotes to refer to the prior verse,
okay. Najayate iti. And it can just also refer to the words najayate of the prior verse, because it accomplishes the same thing.
Right.
But you can also take it as referring to the, because it begins the verse, it can refer to the whole verse. Najayate iti anena, by this, najayate, it is not born. The avikriyatvam, free from modification. Hetu, as the cause. Uktva, having told. Pratignanartam upasamharati, he concludes the declaration of the pratignya. He sums it all up with this verse.
So could there have been a period after Bhavaditi Pradnyaya?
You'd have to write the sentence differently because the Pratignyaya is a verb. It's called, it's an indeclinable past participle and it shows sequential action. So there are two sequential actions. First, having made the declaration, having declared. Second, uktva, having said. Now, upasamharati, he concludes. So indeclinable past participle, indeclinable past participle, verb, and it shows sequential action. So you'd have to restructure the sentence. I think we should take a little break.
Then can we restructure the sentence into English so we could just read another sentence in English?
Sure, well, why don't we do that right now?
Okay.
Having made the, having declared that there is no karta or karma for the act of killing, by the mantra, he who knows this as a killer. Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm gonna actually write this down. I can't quite trace it.
Okay.
Having declared that there is no karta or karma for the act of killing.
Mm-hmm. By the mantra, quotes, he who knows this as a killer. Now that refers to the first part of that mantra, right? So you have to go back to it and look at it. Because it actually says, he who knows this as a killer or as killed doesn't know. Yeah, so you have, so that's referring you back to that verse. So having declared that, then having told, uktva, go to the end of the line, having told the cause. So we would say, and having told, even though the and is not there, I'll tell you why in a minute. And having told the cause, I'm sorry, having told the, how do you say, freedom from modification, from being free from modification, as the cause, by this, najayate iti, by the verse that begins with najayate, which means is not born, he concludes the pratignya, the declaration. But I like this, pratignya is the first member of a syllogism. That's how I want you to think and use that technical term. A syllogism is a statement that then needs to be proven, right? That's what a pratignya is. You make a statement, then you need to prove that statement. So here, having made the pratignya, that's why I translated pratignaya as an indeclinable past participle, having made the pratignya, then, and having said, because that's the second indeclinable participle, then upasamharati, he concludes. He concludes the meaning of the pratignya. Okay.
So, can I just read this back to you, because I have a hole in it.
Okay.
Having declared that there is no karta or karma for the act of killing, by the mantra, quoted, he who knows this as a killer, end quote, and having told,
the avikriya means that which cannot be is free from modification. So the avikriyatvam, the state of being free from modification. If the nature of being, its nature, the nature of being free from modification, as the cause, by the verse, and I'm saying adding verse, it's by this anena, but I'm saying by this verse. Najayate iti, it is not born, in quotes. pratignanartham upasamharati. He concludes, he summarizes, concludes the declaration, the pratignya. Sums up, concludes. All right, this is the Sanskrit grammar section. Page 13. I'm actually going to give you, still working on it, I haven't finished it, a more extensive handout of what we call the prepositions, or upasargas. The prepositions are these little, usually monosyllabic, sometimes partial words that will go in front of a word. Like, for instance, if I have the word gachati, to go, you might see eti gachati, or pra gachati, or a gachati, right? Or anu gachati. These are prepositions, and they usually modify the meaning of the root, right? They'll modify the meaning of the root. Sometimes they won't change the meaning of the root. They'll just give emphasis to the root. Usually they actually modify the meaning of the root. And so here, I just want to go through these with you. These are some of the most common ones. So you see on page 13, he says prepositions, upasargas, right? When prefixed to verbs modify the original sense of the roots, the following are the principal of these. There's probably about two or three times this many, but these are the most common ones. And they're not only added to roots, they're added root. Remember, roots, dhatus, form verbs and nouns. So these prepositions, the upasargas, are actually added to the dhatus, which have become roots and nouns. Right, so you'll see them as much added to a noun as to a verbal form. Okay? You understand that? Like if I said pra as just an emphasis to do something very well, I could say prabodhati. He knows that well. Or I could say prabodaha. So the pra, the upasarga, can be added to a root, to a verb, or to a noun. So here, we're looking at them now in terms of verbs. So eti normally means beyond. Everybody with me there? Everybody see the eti? Means beyond. So eti kram yati. Kram kram means to go beyond, to go over, is eti kram yati. Adi, over, about, upon. Adi gachati. It also often means gachati. Gachati means to go. Adi gachati means to know. It's very common. Adi gachati is used all the time in Vedanta. Adi gachati. Gachati to go. Adi gachati means to know. It can also mean to get. So you have to get used to the context. Anu, after, to follow after something, or to be like something. Just think how the word after can mean, you know, it follows after this, can mean an imitation, right? To imitate something. Or to follow behind something. So here the example they give, anu sarati, or anu kachati. Sre sar means to move. Gam gach means to go. So anu sarati, anu kachati, to go after, to follow. That's also very common, anu. Abhi, to, unto, near to, abhigachati, to approach, to go near. A lot of times, the use, the way the upasarga influences the verb is not always obvious. So you have to, but you, what you need to know is that it's an upasarga, so that you can look it up in the dictionary. You can see the root because you know the upasarga. Like, for instance, if you see, let's just look at an example here. If you see, go to anu, okay, after like anusarati. Everybody with me on anusarati? If you know that anu is the upasarga, what would the root be? Okay, you've gotten to sar. You've taken off the sri, right? Because the ar, you're going to take that back to r. You're going to take the guna back to its simple vowel. So you're going to know the, recognize the upasarga, anu. You're going to see sri, sar, that you'll take back to r. You recognize the t as the third person singular. So sri. What about anu gachati? What's the root? Gach, which goes to? Gum. That you have to memorize. You have to know that. Gum becomes gutch. Okay. But you do need to know that one because, of course, the root to go is pretty common. Okay. So let's look at the next one, avatarati. Ava means down. You know, like avatara? Tara. Well, first, before I tell you that, avatarati, what's the root? Tra. I believe it's long r, actually, tre, for tara, which you wouldn't be able to know. You would know that, you would have to look that up, whether it's going to be short or long. You don't know, because either the short or long will take guna, right? So I believe with for tara is tre, the root is long r. Avatara, which tara means to cross, avatara means to cross down. He's crossing, the avatara is coming down from heaven, right? Crossing over. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Again, abhi gachati, we did. Ava, avatara ti. Now, ah gachati, root. Arohati. What's the root? Ru. What's guna? O is guna of what? U or u. Right? So ru. Ru means to grow. Ah, ru means so to grow up or ascend. Ru. 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 Ah, gachati. Now, see where the ah means can mean reversing? So, gachati means to go. Ah gachati means to come. Okay? But ah doesn't always reverse. It can do other things. You know, sometimes it doesn't even change the meaning of the root. So here, obviously it does. It says bounding or limiting, reversing to, as far as, up, above. No, gachati, yeah. Bounding or limiting, reversing to, as far as. And sometimes doesn't change the meaning, just emphasizes it. So, pra and ah do that. Okay, let's look at the next one. Ud, up, above, superior. Utpatati, what's the root? Put. Why does the da change to ta? What kind of letter is pa? Pa is a hard consonant. Da is a soft consonant. You have a soft consonant followed by a hard consonant, it'll change to the hard consonant. Soft consonant followed by a hard consonant will change to the first of its class. So ud will become ut. So ud patati. Ud gachati, to go up, because ud has the sense of rising. So ud gachati, to go up. Ut patati, to fall up. Which means to jump. That makes sense, right? That's really sweet. Okay. Upa. Upa means to approach, to be near. So, upa gachati, to approach, to go near. right? To go near means to approach. Upanishad. Upanishad. Upa means to go near. One of the meanings of the Upanishad is to sit near the teacher. There's other more better meanings than that. I don't want to get into it right now. Katha Upanishad has a beautiful bhasha on the meaning of the word Upanishad. Katha Upanishad introduction. Upa. Ni. In, down. Nishidati. There's going to be a sandhi that you're going to have to learn. I haven't taught it yet. Where the sa will go to sha. The root actually here is sud. It's an unusual root, so don't worry about it. Sud means to sit. Becomes seed. And then with the preposition ni, nishid, the sa goes to sha. So you'll learn that is a sandhi rule. Para, opposite or opposed to. So para jayate. What's the root? G. Right? I. That te is an atmanepada ending, and even though G, to conquer, is a parasmaipada verb, jayati, with para, it becomes atmanepada. You haven't learned atmanepada endings yet, but I would still like you to see if you can recognize the root. So you take the, understand the upasarga para, plus jayati, para, G. Okay. Prati. Like to reverse or to talk back, to answer, also prati. So here, prati bhashate, what would the root be? Bhash. Bhash.
Also Atmanepada.
Pra, fourth, before, but also emphasis. Often just emphasis. Prayati. What do you think the root would be? Just guess. Yeah. Yeah, if you guessed right. Take the T off, right? Take the pra. You're left with ya. You know? They're only in the 10th conjugation is there going to be vriddhi. Right? You've learned 1st, 4th, 6th, and 10th. The only conjugation that even has any vriddhi, and that's for the penultimate takes vriddhi in the 10th. Otherwise, it's only guna. So if you see bhash, there's no rule. So bhash must be bhash. See what I mean? There's no bush that goes to bosh. And so there's not going to be a change there. The means to privation, apart, away, separation. So here, vishlishyati. What do you think the root is? What guna do you think it is?
Fourth.
So the root would be what? Slish. Slish plus ya. Uh-huh. Right? Slish plus ya. Everybody see that?
This is the same yoga?
Mm-hmm. Separation, right? Yoga means to unite. The yoga, to separate. What about this? Jnanam means to know. Vijnanam means to know in the sense of separating, you know, know clearly, to know clearly, to be able to differentiate, to have clear knowledge. You know? There's other meanings for the V. I'll get into it. What I want to do for you, and I haven't done yet, just because I'm busy with it, these other things that we're trying to do, is to use these prepositions and then give you some Sanskrit, some of our Vedanta words that are using the prepositions. But for now, if we just go through them like this, so you, at least you know there's prepositions, and I can now start, when we're reading the bhasha, I can start to point out these prepositions, and you'll know what they mean. If I say this is an upasarga, this is the upasarga, sam, for instance, sam gacchati. Sam means to, one of the meanings is to conjoin or to unite. Another meaning for sam is from samyak, which means very well, well done, you know. Yeah, like samsara, like samsara. Samsara means that which moves, samsaraha, that which moves very well, means it goes on and on moving, samyak saraha. But here it also means sam in the sense of conjoining, sangachati. Sam in the sense of sangachati is what they usually say. And sangachati means to, like for two rivers coming together, two things coming together and uniting. Right? So, we're going to read these down, and I want you to just repeat after me. Ati adi anu.
Ati adi anu.
Ati adi anu.
Abhi
ava a.
Abhi ava a.
Abhi ava a.
Abhi ava a.
Ud upa ni.
Ud upa ni.
Ud upa ni.
Ud upa ni.
Para prati pra.
Para prati pra.
Para prati pra.
Visam. Visam.
Ati adi anu abhi ava.
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 A ud upa ni para.
A ud upa ni.
Ava a ud upa ni para.
Ava a ud upa ni para.
Prati pra vi sam.
Prati pra vi sam.
Prati pra vi sam.
Prati pra vi sam.
Ati adi anu abhi ava a. Ud upa ni para prati.
Ud upa ni para prati.
Pravisam.
Pravisam.
Ud upa ni para prati pravisam.
Ud upa ni para prati pravisam.
Okay. What I would do is read these over and just, you know, try to memorize them. Just the words. Pra upa avi ada. You know, just so that you're used to these as upasargas. So that when you see a word, you'll immediately spot that upasarga. And as he's got the main ones, I might find a few more. I have a list of a lot of them, but these are the ones that just come over and over. And what I want you to be able to do is when we're reading and you see a pra in your mind, that immediately is an upasarga that you can separate. So you can separate the upasarga and then you can separate the endings also. Take off the upasarga, take off the endings, you know, take the vowel back to its simple vowel if that's there, so that you can always find the root. Everybody with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing. A lot of times, if not a lot, but enough, when you go to look up a word in the dictionary, they won't have the word with the upasarga because it's not that common, or for whatever reason, they won't have the word with the upasarga. So now you have to kind of know what the upasarga means, and then go to the root to be able to look at the word. You have to understand what the word is. Okay? Now, there's one. So that's one thing to know. So I want these upasargas just to lop off easily for you. Now, there's another thing. Very commonly, there will be two upasargas together. and then the root. Okay? Like, let me tell you one that's very common. Like if I had prati plus ah, there's two pasargas. Prati plus ah, what would you see? Pratya. Prati plus ah. Pratya. Right, Sunday. Ah plus e is ya. So prati plus ah. Pratya gachati. Right? That's extremely common. What about anu plus ah? Anu plus ah. U plus ah. Semi-vowel equivalent. U plus ah. Anu plus ah. Have you noticed that our board is missing? Forget the good to be because I'm kind of making it. Just these two. Anva. U. Right? U followed by any vowel other than itself. It takes a semi-vowel equivalent. Okay? What about so, this type of a formation you need to start becoming familiar with, right? Yeah. Anvashorchas twam. Anu, ashorcha. No, because anvaya is its own word. But good try. Okay? I'm not prepared to give you all of the examples because they just aren't coming quickly to my mind. So I'll prepare that for you. But for now, I think it's good if you just understand what the upasargas are and be able to remove them. Okay. And so from now on, and when we're teaching, doing the bhasha, I'm going to be pointing out these upasargas and their meanings and show you how they're added on to the word. Because they're pervasive. It's not like they just come once in a while. They come all the time, everywhere. Okay.
In pranam, when you say pranam,
yeah? Well, okay, let's look at this. Pranam comes from the root. That pranam is a Hindi. But say we say pranama. The upasarga would be pra. And then the root is actually num. Pranamati. Num.
Oh, as in namaste.
In namaste, yeah. Mm-hmm. My salutations.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But pronouns. Nur changes to num.
That is another. Often you're going to see this. You're going to see often says a sa means sa stands for sa, su, si. Okay. A sa going to a sha because of sandhi. And you're going to see a na going to na because of sandhi. I still have to give you those rules. I haven't given you those rules yet. But so sa and sha, sha will often replace the sa. Na will often replace na. Yet this na, I'll give you the Sunday, I used to call it the killer rule. if this na is preceded, if the dental na is preceded by a ra, and there are many letters that can come in between, that na will change to na. So I'll give you that rule. I want to print it out and give you some examples. I haven't gotten that far in the Sunday yet. But since you asked... That's general, but there's more to it than that. Because there's times when it doesn't. That's what I call it, the killer rule. You have to remember other things about that.
We'll just write that down.
Namaha te.
And then the te is a...
to you. It's in the data.
Oh, okay. It's not an...
So an ending. Ending. Okay, everybody? So far?
What was the one that both separates or apart?
Pardon me?
The one that's down here separates apart only?
V. Yeah, say if you had V plus A. That's another common one. V plus eti. Vieti. Mm-hmm. Good. That's good. I'm going to write this rule. I'm going to, I'll give you a handout on it. But since the rule is here, I think this is one that I actually wanted to do. And I want to read it to you in this Sanskrit down here on the bottom, page 13. And then I'm going to put it on the board with some examples. We talked about it today. So let's look at this Sunday rule. This is Bhandarkar's way of giving you the Sandhi rules, okay? It says an im, is everybody with me? Im at the end of a word or particle, particle like, for instance, sum, right? Sum is a particle that ends in im. Followed by a consonant in general, any consonant, right? Is changed to an anuswara optionally and necessarily when it is followed by sha, sha, sa, e, or ha. Okay? When it is not changed to an anuswara, it is changed to the nasal of the class to which the following letter belongs, and to a nasal yavala when followed by yavala, respectively. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, actually, these are actually, once you know the rule, this is very succinct, very, very well put, but you do have to kind of know the rule.
Can you sort of give this to us only in two different parts?
Yeah, I've given it to you in a way. Not completely, though. So, this is the rule. If an M, okay, the first part of the rule, okay, M followed by a mute, okay, an M followed by a mute. Everybody remember what the mutes are? That's ka all the way down to the pa group, the gutturals down to the labials, all the way through the nasals. Those are the mutes, okay? If a ma is followed by a mute, then it goes to anuswara or the nasal of the class. Okay, this part I'm going to just go over with you. So if you have a makara, a word that ends in a ma, like, for instance, tum is that in the accusative. Okay, tum. If that is followed by a mute,
Like, for instance, karoti, followed by a ka. This mitma goes to the aniswara, or to the nasal of its class, of this letter's class. What's the nasal of ka? Tongue karoti. Optionally. Are you going to see that?
And? Who decides?
It doesn't matter. It's really optional. I'll tell you, though, that just because of typesetting, the aniswara, you'll see the aniswara more, much more frequently than you'll see the nasal, much more frequently.
See?
Here?
Yeah.
No, it's a na.
Okay.
So let's go over this. If you have a makara, makara means the letter M, and it's followed by a mute, means a hard consonant, except for the semi-vowels and sh. Right? A mute is a consonant, not a hard consonant. The mute is a consonant, except for the semi-vowels and sibilants. And ha, right? Okay. It will optionally go to anuswara, or the nasal of that mute's class. So now, say for instance, if I had tam, tarati. Optionally, anuswara. Or tantarati.
How would you say that they use the aniswara? Tamarati?
It's usually, even though this is aniswara, it's usually going to take the nasal sound. It won't usually, you can pronounce it. Actually, there's been discussions on this. I even remember when I was taking Sanskrit, in India, you know, you can say tam tarati or tam tarati, even with its nasal. Okay. Often, if you want to really be correct, you would say tam tarati, I believe, because the ta is going to influence the ma sound. The ma sound really belongs to the labial class. And so that ma sound is going to be, the nasal is going to be affected by that ta. So normally you would be saying, whether you have the aniswara or the na, the tantarati.
Is it due to the positioning of the tongue?
Exactly.
It's where the tongue falls. It's is it a tongue which...
Tongue wants, wants a labial.
Right.
That's exactly why. And that's what Sandhi is all about. It's the whole idea in Sandhi, in the Devanagari script, is that the script is an accurate, symbolic writing of what is actually said. You know, and so if what is actually said because of the influence of one letter over another is different, then they want to write what is different. So say if you say tam tarati would be more natural to the tongue. If you said more obvious than that though, if you said tut bhashate, right, because the soft consonant will very much affect the hard consonant. So that's not true all the way, like with Visarga. Well, why is that? Well, they're just rules. But that's so often what the case is. Okay, now look. There are other letters, like sibilants and ha. M followed by sh, sh, sa, ha. Goes to aniswara. Tam. So if I had tam. Shoka. Tam shoka. Okay? No option there. It just goes to aniswara. So if it's a sibilant, aniswara. So the mutes, it's either the aniswara or the nasal of the mutes class. Sibilants, including ha, it's only aniswara. And semivowels, you will almost always just see the aniswara, but it can all also go to the nasalized semivowel, which is like this. You very rarely see this. But in chanting, like in the chanting texts, once in a while you'll see it. Like some of the texts that we're chanting, if when I give you the actual version, often you'll see this nasalized semivowel. So, for instance, if I said, again, tum, body. Okay? That's going to be tum, body. Or that's a nasalized semivowel. Sometimes we'll have that's awesome.
So what is that body?
Tongue body. If it was a yeah, disappear, okay? You're not going to see this very often, but you at least need to know about it.
Can you say it?
Tanyata. To take more of a tanyata, tambata, tambata. It has a little bit of a more of a nasal sound. Tambadi, tambadi, tambata. Tanyata, tanyata. I want to read this again. I'll let you copy all of this, and then we're going to read this again and see if it makes sense. I'm finishing up my Sunday handout. You have my Sunday handouts, but some of these are not on there, and these are the ones that I'm putting on now with new examples. Let's read this. I want to see if you can understand it now. Im at the end of a word or particle. Okay, let me explain that. In Sanskrit, when we take a noun, especially, a lot of in the declining of a noun, there are many, many instances when the noun, when it's declined, will end in im, like ramam is accusative. Ramabhyam, right? Ramanam. Many times, so in Sanskrit, many, many times, a word will end in an M. So this Sunday is all over the place. And then even in in some of the prepositions, like some ends in an M. Okay. So you're going to be, you have to know this rule. It's going to be coming all of the time. So when they say a word, so a declined word will often end in an M. So here we have M at the end of a word or particle. These prepositions are what they mean by the particles. Okay. So you have only, in this list, only one, some. Followed by a consonant in general is changed to aniswara optionally. Now when they say a consonant in general, that means really, no matter what the consonant, it's going to be changed to an aniswara. But in some instances, there will be an option. So in general, but all of the consonants, right, the M will be changed to an aniswara. But in some instances, there will be an option. So now it says, followed by a consonant in general, it is changed to aniswara optionally and necessarily when it is followed by sha, sha, sa, ra, or ha.
Ra?
No, that's ha. Yeah.
But ra was
I'm sorry, I missed that, but it's true. When it's followed by a ra, sha, sa, sa, ra, or ha, I have to add that. I just left it out. I forgot about it. When it's followed by sha, sha, sa, ra, or ha, so you have to add your ra there, right? Then it's necessarily only followed by an anuswara. There's no optional form.
So you can't make it a general case, the siblings versus semivowels.
No, because of ra. Because of the ra. So sha, sha, sa, ra, and ha. If you think about it, say you're going to make a, how awkward that would be, the semi-vowel form with a ra, a nasalized ra, mm-hmm. anuswara and double ra. How are you going to pronounce it? It's just it's hard. So anyway.
Remove it from the last
Let me see this.
Yes.
Okay. Sha, sa, sa, ra, and ha goes to aniswara necessarily. Okay? Mm-hmm. Ya, ra, and ya, va, and la goes to aniswara or what we call the nasalized semi-vowel, which would be my little version there. Okay? Option. So let's continue reading this. Okay. When it is not changed. Yes.
It says, and necessarily when it is followed by sha, sha, sa.
Ra.
That's a ra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you follow what we were doing on the board?
Yeah, I did, but it looked like there was something in there besides the ra.
No, it's just a ra. That's a refa.
Okay.
Another stroke there. So, sha, sha, sa, ra, or ha. When it is not changed to an anuswara, it is changed to the nasal of the class to which the following letter belongs. Okay, so that's for the mutes. And to a nasal, yavala, when followed by yavala, respectively. Now, does it make sense? Mm-hmm. It's an important rule, you know, because it's pervasive. Okay. There's one other rule I wanted to show you that's an easy one.
It's coming up quite a bit. And I'll also have this on the handout. Should have that handout ready by the time you come back, so... I'll put it on the website as soon as it's done. The Sunday rules handout. This is the rule. A or O. A or O follows by a. Goes to avagraha. Goes to the A avagraha or O avagraha. You've learned this in reference to the Visarga Sandhi, right? Where A followed by Visarga followed by soft consonant or A. It's followed by A, then the A goes to avagraha. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Because actually what happens is that the Visarga in that one, like Rama plus changes Rama, Ramaha becomes Ramo. There's some internal sandhi that makes Rama plus the avagraha become Ramo there. But it does become Ramo. And then it's followed by an a. And that a goes to avagraha by this rule. So if you have, what I didn't show you in that, is that also if the letter a is followed by a, what am I missing something? What am I doing wrong? I'm doing something wrong. Okay. That's right. I don't know what's bothering me. Just a minute. That's right, I don't know why it's playing. Oh, okay, right. Anyway, this is the rule. Mm-hmm. A arrow, when followed by an it changes to a vagraha. So like vashe aham would be vashe aham. Ramo atati, ramo tati. The new thing is this that you don't know yet is this A. Okay. So I've given you two new Sunday rules today, right? The makara, use of the makara, and the addition of the A. And the upasargas. Some of you haven't learned the Sunday rules that other people have been through. So whatever Sunday rules are coming up in the Bhandarka, we're definitely going to do those in depth. But I'm also going to give you a printout of all of the Sunday rules so that you can study those on your own, and we'll also be referring to them. Then we'll have a little page, little handout, and I can say go to page 5 and see that Sunday rule where I'm actually giving you a lot of examples of it. Okay, so that's what we'll do when I come back. Now, we're going to miss 2 weeks. Because I'll be back. I'm leaving on the 23rd morning, and we'll be back on the 1st. I'll be back on the 1st, which is a Monday. All right, so we'll miss the next 2 weeks, and everybody will have a nice Christmas vacation.
Hey. So where's the
after T. Ramo after T.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Bashe aham. The A or O, when it's followed by an A, that goes to avagraha. And it's not, avagraha is that S, it's not pronounced, right? I speak. It's atmane parending. You haven't learned it yet. Bash means to speak.
So then is it the addition of the A or the O?
I taught it with the O. You've learned it in reference to the Visarga Sandhi with the O. You haven't learned it in reference to the A. In the Visarga Sandhi, what actually happens if you have Ramaha, the Visarga there changes to U, A plus U is O, and then the O is followed by an A changes to a Vagraha. So that there's a lot of little internal Sandhis. We don't have to really go that deep into the Sanskrit at this point, you know, so we're not getting that far into the... We don't have to get that deeply into the Sandhi. We have to get down to the practical Sandhi that we see all of the time. We can go deeply into the Sandhi, you know, after you are more familiar. For those of you who want that. It's like, should we you learn a little calculus now that we have?
When you were figuring that out just now, you know, you were like, what am I doing wrong? I was looking at it. I was like, it's so much like figuring out some sort of formula.
Yeah, there,
like,
yeah.
I was watching you do it, and it gave me, yeah. Like, this is so formulaic.
It is, yeah. It is kind of like algebra in a way. Yeah, it's really fun that way. Yeah, I used to love it. I loved algebra when I was little. Okay, let's just do our chant so we can close the class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.